And these are familiar passages, and I think we need to understand them, because if we miss it, we don't understand what's coming next in the biblical order. Remember, we've been looking at one story of the gospel that began in Genesis and is running to Revelation, that it is not chopped up stories. It's not seven different starts and stops. It is one story where God is doing something, and it is a consistent refrain throughout. So that creation, then there was the fall, then there was redeeming, looking forward to Jesus and His coming, looking forward to His ultimate fulfillment of His promise, leading to completion and completeness. And so His story really is our story. And so we're going to look at what that means for us. And so Matthew 28, we might actually just have time to read and then briefly go through this. I welcome you to look at it through this week. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Then over in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, starting in verse 6. "So when they came together, they asked Him, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven.'" And as we think of these things, we really see that when we start talking about the idea that there really is one story of the gospel, and that one story is the story of what God is, that story becomes our story. Because we don't live just 100 different segmented lives and our own thing. That our story is very much a part of what God is doing in His world. And so if our story is part of His story, then His mission becomes our mission. And so when we see that really clearly as Jesus articulates it. It's always been that case for God's people. But He makes it very clear in Matthew 28. Verse 29, He says this. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Basically, the idea, there's only one command in that verse, even though English translations make it look like there's two. The only command is to make disciples. The idea of go is actually going, kind of the sense of the word is to go away. Why? They're on the top of a mountain. And Jesus is like, as you leave this place, as you're going, go and make disciples. Making disciples is the only command in these verses. All other things modify that. So going, as you're on your way, make disciples. And how do you do that? You baptize. By baptizing and by teaching. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Teaching to observe all that I have commanded. So the nature of discipleship is often misunderstood. We think it's kind of sitting at a table at Panera, and that's discipleship. Discipleship, the initial stage, leads to, especially in people that have never heard of the Word of God and haven't grown up around it, an initial understanding of baptism, which is baptism doesn't save anybody. It is a mark of somebody coming to faith. So a disciple is someone coming to understand Jesus for the first time, but it is also teaching all that I have commanded. The further commanding, the further growth of what Jesus has done. And so what is discipleship? What's sad is that if this is Jesus' parting command for His people, Let's take stock in this church in the United States of America. Would we say we are faithful to raising up disciples of Jesus? I don't know. Seems like we're good at doing church, but are we raising up disciples? And what is it to raise up a disciple? What is it for us to make disciples? Is that we ourselves would surrender our lives to Jesus? That we would follow him and challenge each other to live by faith? And so if you want to craft discipleship in any way, shape, or form, it is that you would help people and we would challenge each other to surrender and follow Jesus and follow him by faith. And so there's this sense where his mission to make disciples becomes our mission because his story is our story. It's interesting that when Linda's dad passed away, this was 2010, we were sitting down with her brother and I were sitting down with their budget, and we were going through their budget to make sure, you know, mom would, you know, we could help mom pay bills and all that stuff, and everything was just great. But we were looking at his really small budget form, and he had really simple Excel spreadsheet that he recorded all of his transactions. And he had 8 budget categories. You know, I'm lucky to get down to 25. He had 8. Okay? And so we're talking massive categories, you know, like house and anything that has to do, you know, like groceries, medical. And he had 8 of them. One of those 8 was discipleship and mentoring. Huh. For the last 10 years of his life, he had budgeted purposely to invest in young dads in his church and walk with them, encourage them in their marriage, in their parenting. He was taking Jesus's claim and call to make disciples seriously. 1 out of 8 budget categories was mentoring and discipleship. And so what's interesting is Jesus says, go, as you're going, that's what you get about and that's what you start to do because that's his heartbeat and his heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. But what is the process in which that will start to happen? Well, the process is what we looked at last week. Remember what we looked at last week? Jesus says, if you're going to come after me, you know, follow me, you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And it is only in that makes sense of the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, he goes in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this. He says, but in verse 8, you're going to have to jump to the second to last slide to find that one. That basically his method becomes our method. So whenever they find that, it'll be there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus' method for actually, go one more slide. What was Jesus' method for actually bringing his message to the world? Is that his people would be his witnesses. You could argue, and I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that Jesus was kind of, according to our version, a bad church growth guy. He hung out with 12 people. And we would say, you know, that's not really an effective ministry. You know, only 12 people are coming to your church? And he changed the world through investing in discipling 12, of which one of which went off the rails. So 11 men, 11 guys that he poured into changed the world. Now, there was the 70 and the 500, But there's an interesting pattern to what Jesus does. And he says, you will be my witness to the world. And then where does he say to care about? He says to care about Jerusalem. Guess what? Where are they? They're in Jerusalem. And so you're going to care about Jerusalem. You're going to care about the city and the locality that God has called you to. But you're not just going to stay there, care about Judea, which is the broader region, care about Samaria, which is a little bit further, and the people that really, that people have issues with. There's kind of this tension between cultures, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth. These ever-broadening circles of concern. It's not that one is set opposite of the other, or that the ends of the earth is opposite of being local. It is that God is calling you to where you are, and as you go, make disciples. I would think it's interesting. I've been kind of in growing up in church since the middle of the 80s, and kind of at least aware enough to know what's going on. And it seems like there's a real concern for the ends of the earth, and a lessening concern for Jerusalem. And I don't think those two things are set against each other. But I want us to really think through the fact that where does Jesus have you right now? He has you right here in the Dutch Fork Chapin area. And so I hope we have a heart for the nations. Yet, you ought to have a heart for Jerusalem too. They're not opposite each other, but what, think about it. When we send people to Greece or to Spain, what are we hoping that they do? We're hoping that they land there, that they plant there, that they raise up a real concern for the Jerusalem that is there, the local center that is there. And so what are we doing? We're not just sending money and people around. We are actually multiplying churches where people care about raising up disciples. So it's interesting where Jesus says that you will be my witnesses. The only way you will do that is if you are willing to have awkward conversations where people really might not want to hear what you have to say. But you know what? We've heard time and time again from these microphones that God does amazing things by us just opening our mouth and proclaiming who He is and what He has done, because His method is us being His witnesses. But what's really interesting is verse 11. It made me chuckle this past week. So literally they're hanging out with Jesus. He ascends into heaven, taken up by a cloud. And all of us, of course, are going to be staring up. And then two angels stand next to the guys and they say, "What are you looking at?" And they're probably like, Jesus floating away, why wouldn't? And so what are the angels saying? The angels are saying, get back to work. Do exactly what Jesus did. At times, I think, I know there's a phrase where to fix your eyes on the things above. But yet, if we forget about what Jesus did, that He came in flesh, He worked in the middle of broken things. He sought the good of people so that the human heart might come to know Him. The message of the gospel is that God took wretched, rebellious sinners, which Romans 5 says we were His enemies, and then He dies for us so that we could be made right with Him. If you are right with God, if you know Him, in a sense, don't stand there just looking up into heaven. Get to work. And He says, why are you standing there? Basically, you will be my witnesses. Go and tell people about who I am. It's the message of the gospel, so His message becomes our message. It's the hope of the gospel, who He is becomes our hope. It's His method becomes our method. His mission becomes our mission. Our life is wrapped up in who Jesus is and what He is doing in this one story of redemption. Thanks for professing the goodness of God to us so regularly. As we just remember His goodness over and over to us. I pray that we truly would be that. Let's pray. Jesus, would You take Your word? Would You take these testimonies of Your goodness, of Your gospel, of Your healing? God, You use broken, feeble people in amazing ways. God, would You have us to be faithful to be Your witnesses? That when we speak, the Holy Spirit, by His power, by the power of the resurrection, takes those words that at times make no sense, even as we're speaking them, and God, You multiply them in people's hearts. So Father, I pray that You would restore this place, Dutch Fork, Chapin. God, that You would restore Columbia and South Carolina, United States, and the ends of the earth, God, that we would see disciples raised up, people who follow You, people who are willing to surrender to You, who are willing to trust You by faith. Father, thanks for the privilege that You've called us into that. God, that Your mission becomes the heartbeat of who we are. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and close our service as we think about the idea of really our hands, our voice, our time, everything. May they be glorified. May they glorify God, knowing that everything good that we do is brought about and sustained by His authority, His power, and what He is doing in us. Let's close our service here.